that I am and know more about the Bible than I do, would probably disagree with some of my thoughts concerning the Song of Solomon. But I want you to look tonight. I think the bridegroom, of course, is Jesus. And I think the little lady here that he's talking to is a picture of the church. And so in verse number 2, she says, I'm asleep. She's retired for the night. And she's laid herself down. She's taken off her coat. And she's taken off her shoes. In verse number 3, I put off my coat. And how shall I put it on? I washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Living in a little place. Didn't want to get her feet dirty.
Right.
And while she has retired for the evening, the Lord Jesus, or the bridegroom, her beloved, he comes walking by, and he comes by her door, and he knocks upon the door, and in verse number 2, he begins to call unto her, and he said, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. And she doesn't respond to him quickly in verse number 3. And so in verse number 4, the Bible said that she said, I heard him. He began to fiddle around with the doorknob back there, the hole in the door. I heard him trying to open the door. And when I heard that, she said, my heart began to run away. And my bowels were moved within me. She said, the love of God in my heart overcame me. My heart began to run away. She began to think about him for a little while. And I'm interested in that tonight. And I'm laying a foundation to tell you where my message is going to be in just a moment tonight. That's the scene. She's in the bed. He knocks at the door. He calls unto her. And she doesn't respond to him. So he fiddles around with the doorknob a little bit. And she's not well. I guess he's going to open the door and he's going to come in. And the Bible said in verse number 4, verse number 5, that she rose up to open the door herself and said, my hands were dropping with myrrh, flavored with sweet smelling myrrh. And she said, upon the handles of the lock, you know, the lock's on the inside, just like your heart tonight. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door. Knock, and if any man will open the door and hears my voice and open the door, I'll come in, sup with him, and he with me. The picture writer, the picture painter, he got the picture right. I used to know his name, I can't think of it, but he painted a picture of Jesus at the door, and there's no doorknob on the outside of that door. That's where the knob is, on the inside.
Amen.
And,
yes.
That's the way it is with your heart. If Jesus ever comes into your heart, it's going to have to be because you open the door. If you ever fellowship with him after you get saved, it's going to be because you let him in. Are you listening?
Yes, preacher.
I'm going to show you that in just a minute tonight. And she waits a little while. She hears his voice. She hears him back there at the door reaching in, maybe like the old cabins in the country used to be. He's trying to reach in and fiddle around with the doorknob, a little bit of the handle on the door. And so she gets out of the bed and runs to him in verse number 4, verse number 5, and look at verse number 6. She said, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. If you'll give me about 30 minutes tonight, let me preach for a little while. I want to preach of this talk tonight, the price of procrastinating. The price of procrastinating. There's nobody under the sound of my voice tonight. Listen to me, that somewhere you can look back in your life and there's been things we should have done, but we didn't do them when we were supposed to have done them, and neighbor, we had to pay the price for it. If you had an old-fashioned daddy like mine, or an old-fashioned mountain mother the way that I have, and they told you, well, I want that done, Dad would say, I want that done when I get home this evening. I say, I learned I better get it done. Amen?
Yes.
I had my mother tell me, son, your daddy told you to do something, and you better get it done. He's going to roll in here about 6 o'clock or so, and you're going to wish you'd have done what he told you to do.
Amen.
And sure enough, when I procrastinated and didn't get it done, We had a business meeting. I was on the wrong end of the business meeting, amen. And so I had to pay the price for not doing what I was told to do.
Amen.
And you're still the same way. You've been told to do things, or you've been asked to do things, and you didn't respond properly, and you didn't do it, and you got out the road a little while, a day or two, a week or two, whenever, and you said, I would to God I'd have done that. I wish I'd have done what I said I'd have done, or done what I should have done. And you get out there, there's always a price to pray, pay for procrastination.
Amen.
Some things you can do tomorrow that you wish you'd have done today, maybe you can catch it tomorrow. But there are some opportunities we have that we will never have again. Are you listening to me? And nobody here tonight wants to pay the price that this little lady paid in Song of Solomon chapter 5. I got four things I want to give you, and nobody under the sound of my voice, you want to pay the price that she had to pay. I'm going to show you that, and I'll be through. Now, what about as I studied today, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 24, he talked to a man by the name of Governor Felix, and Paul reasoned with Felix about temperance and righteousness and judgment.
Right.
And he said, Felix, you ought to get saved today. You ought to give your heart to God
right.
today.
Amen.
And Felix said, Paul said, when I have a more convenient season, I'll do something about that. And I've been studying the Bible for 42 years. I never found where Governor Felix ever had another opportunity.
Right. Amen.
Yes. He procrastinated and apparently lost and undone without God, put it off another day, and apparently died and went to hell. Are you listening to me?
Yes, preacher.
Somebody well said the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
Some of you are here tonight, baby, and God has dealt with your heart about being saved,
right.
and somebody has put it off. You young people, listen to me. Don't put off getting saved.
Amen.
You can't get saved on your terms, and you don't get saved on your time. You get saved when God is dealing with your heart.
Right.
The Bible said in the Gospel of John, Jesus right. said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day.
Yes.
I believe that is the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God that deals with a sinner's heart and shows him he needs to come to Jesus to be saved. And we put that off, and we never may have another opportunity to be saved.
Yes.
God helped me when I was about an 8-year-old boy. I was a baby of 7. The older brother got saved and started preaching about 3 months later, and then about all of my family's been saved in the last 40-some years, and I thank God for that tonight. I could have been saved when I was about 8 years old, and I put it off, and I wasted 17 years of my life in sin and righteous living, and I carry scars in my mind and on my body tonight that wouldn't have ever been there if I'd have got saved when I was a child.
Amen.
And so
yes.
you're here tonight as a young person, and Jesus speaks to your heart. Praise God, run to it and get saved.
Yes, preacher, amen.
And you're here, you're 75 years old tonight, and you don't know you're going to heaven, and God speaks to your heart. You run to him and get saved by the grace of God.
Yes.
He may never pass your way again.
Right,
amen.
A lot of people in the Bible had the last chance to be saved. And a lot of people who are alive today had their last chance to be saved. And God may never deal with them again. Are you listening to me?
Right.
Revelation 3:20, I came to the verse. Jesus said, behold, pass teacher, I stand at the door of God. And if any man, I still believe any man is saved. Amen.
Amen.
Knock on his heart's door. Amen. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. And so if you're here tonight, lost, and Jesus knocks on your heart's door, you throw open that door and invite him in your heart, and he'll come in and save you by the grace of God.
Yes.
And he'll be the greatest day of your life. Amen.
Amen.
And he mentioned one more thing. I'll get through the message. Sinners can get saved when Jesus is knocking, and you better not put it off. But if you're here and you have been saved, and you're backslidden away from God tonight, and God deals with your heart, I said you better get him by God's still a year. God may let you go. He may let you get so far out there and turn you over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. When a person gets backslidden and away from God, and God deals with their heart and deals with their heart, you best not quit it all. You need to run to Him. He
wants
you to get right with God and get back in fellowship with Him. He'll forgive you, cleanse you, and bless you, but you're going to have to come while He's calling.
Yes, preacher.
For example, a man by the name of Lot. If I wasn't a Bible student, I'd preach Lot in hell. But Brother Peter said Lot was the same man, and Lot's in heaven tonight.
Yes.
But you listen, what happens to a backslider? The Bible said Lot cast his tent towards Sodom, and he wandered way off down in Sodom and Gomorrah. He went there, the Bible said, to sojourn. That is temporary. He went there because the grass was greener, and he's the cattle man, and he took his family out of church and took them away from Father Abraham and the altars in his life. I'd love to preach it tonight. God, let me preach it. Preach what I'm going to preach to. Amen.
Yes.
But God got away from God. Abraham, Lot got away from God and down in Sodom and Gomorrah. I studied his life, and he stayed down there away from God for 20 years, and his children grew up in Sodom and Gomorrah, and while he was down there, the Bible said this in Genesis chapter 19, that Lot lingered in Sodom. That's the word, lingered, in your King James Bible. While Lot lingered, and God dealt with his heart, his children grew up, and he got his roots run out in that filthy environment down there.
Right.
And got caught up in politics, and all sat in the gate, and they all of that stuff began to go on around it, and God sent down there to get him out, and he did come out. But you listen to me. He lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his wife. He lost his cattle. He lost every material possession that he had. And he got out of there by the skin of the teeth with his shirt on his back and two worldly daughters that learned filth and garbage down there.
Right.
Because of the school system.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's not profitable for a saint of God that's away from God ever to put off get right with God. I don't like Whitmans. I don't know about you. I don't like for God to take me to woodshed. I don't like to bear the reproach of being away from the Lord. So if you're lost, get saved. If you're backslidden, get right with God. But I want to preach to us chickens that are here tonight. Amen. I want to preach to the cream of the crop in the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I want you to look at your Bible tonight, and I'm preaching on the price of procrastination. Here's this little woman, and she is retired for the night. She took off her coat, she took off her shoes, and she lays herself down to sleep, and she didn't get to sleep, but here comes a knock on the door, and she hears a voice of her beloved, and he said, "Open to me, my love, my dove, my sister, my undefiled." And she heard his voice, and I think in verse number 3, preacher, I think she begins to reason that, well, should I get up and open the door? You know, I've got the coat off and it's kind of chilly. I got the shoes off and I'm going to get my feet dirty again. And shouldn't go to bed with dirty feet, amen? And don't go to bed with them uncovered, you'll catch a cold. But nevertheless, she begins to think about that and turn it over in her mind. And I don't know how long that took to you.
No.
What would you say? He knocked and he called. And look at verse number 3. I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm going to be like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband, "I'm not going to keep you long." Look at verse number 3. "I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How should I defile them? My beloved put his hand in the hole of the door, began to feel around the knob. Apparently, her heart ran away, and she rose up." How long a space do you think is in verse number 3? Would you give me 5 minutes?
Amen. Right.
I don't know how long it was. Long enough for her to think. It takes longer for some people think than it does others.
Yeah.
But if she thought for 5 minutes, lay there in the bed 5 minutes, should have get up or should have not? I do that in the morning sometimes, don't you? Give her 30 minutes. Preacher said he wakes up 3 or 4 times, making up his mind whether to get up or not. But how long do you want to give her? 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you want to give her. She makes up her mind, verse number 5. She said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to put my coat on. I'm going to slip my shoes on. I'm going to run and open the door. And she runs and she opens the door. And the Bible says, you got your Bible open? Here's the price she had to pay. Verse number 6. I hope you got your Bible open and stay with me. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. First of all, the price of procrastinating is missing the preciousness of his presence. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
He wanted the fellowship of her.
Yes,
don't get your mind in the gutter. This is a picture to me of Jesus and his church.
Right.
He wanted the fellowship of her. He loved her. He wanted to come into her presence and wanted her in his presence. And neighbor, she rolled that thing over in her mind for a few minutes. And then she made up her mind, well, I do want a fellowship with him. I do want to do what he's asked me to do. Open the door, my love, my God. I want to come in and fellowship with him. And so she said, that sounds good to me. She gets up, runs across that little place apparently, and opens that door, and she said, my beloved was gone. She declares her salvation. He's still her beloved in the rest of the
yes.
And still her beloved in the rest of the book. But she lost the preciousness of fellowship with him. Are you listening to me? I preached about that Monday night, and that is a precious commodity.
Yes,
by the grace of God, we have the blessed privilege of fellowship.
Yes, amen. Yes.
Jesus said, just 2 or 3 of you will gather together in my name. There I'll be in the midst of you, and he's always in the midst of you. Not going to be in his fellowship.
Right.
And so he wanted to come into the midst of her presence. She put him off for a few minutes. Every how long you think? You be the instructor. Every how long you think? She put him off, preacher. And when she made up her mind to fellowship with him, he wasn't there. She lost the preciousness of his presence. If I had time, I could take you to Revelation 3 and the Laodicean church. And there's a lot of different thoughts, theories, and opinions and ideas about the church in the book of the Revelation. But I'm telling you, Jesus is on the outside. And you know why he's out there? He did say, any man. But he's knocking on the church door of the Laodicean church,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned. And he's on the outside of the church. I'll tell you why he's out there. It's about like the same thing in Joshua. In Sodom and chapter 5. They don't want to fellowship with him. And they don't want to get in his presence. Because when the light comes in, the darkness has to get out. And when the light comes in, you're going to think about your dirty feet.
You've
got to think about being clothed properly.
Right.
And they obviously in church has got him on the outside. And his presence is not precious to them. I beg you tonight, as good shepherd, beg the church, don't you ever do anything that would grieve or quench or resist the presence of God for being in this church. It's a precious commodity that a lot of local churches does not enjoy tonight.
Amen. Amen.
We go places to preach, and it's as cold as a dog's nose, as stiff as a poker, and dry as corn shut, inches last year's bird's nest, twice dead, plucked up by the root, and we think the rapture's already occurred, and Jesus took the church down, but the whole problem is, they neighbor have not done what he told them to do, and he has withdrawn himself, and they just are looking for him, and he's not there. You listen to me? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who's a saint. It doesn't matter how good a preacher you got. If God's presence is not there,
you're
going to be digging a grave somewhere than trying to preach where the presence of God's not there.
Amen.
I was in the book of Mark, the the presence of the Lord's presence was there to heal. I'm telling you, the Lord's around here.
Sir.
Yeah. Are you listening?
Amen.
The price you'll have to pay one of these days for some of you that haven't done what he's asked you to do.
Yeah.
He may never deal with you again.
Oh, dear God.
You won't pay that. There's nobody here wants to pay that price.
Lord.
If you have ever known him, if you have ever experienced him, that description she gave of him down to the road, she knows him.
Yeah.
From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, inside and outside, she knew him. She had been intimate with him. But somewhere or another, she got like the church is today. She said, well, I just don't know if I want fellowship with him today.
Yeah.
I'm so busy, so much on my own, I just neglect my Bible today.
Yeah.
Somebody got up this morning, and the Lord stood and watched you give you a good night's rest. Watch you grease. I don't sleep good. You've got a good night's rest. You got up this morning and the Lord smiled and stepped up there in your presence and you passed him by and didn't even talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He gave you that precious book, that King James Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
And you've been so busy today. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you where
we're at. Oh, preacher,
you. Bypass talking to him, him talking to you out of that word.
Amen.
And he stands tonight, tear running down his face, and he said, why won't my people fellowship? And plucked him as brands from the burning.
Yeah.
And got him out of the horrible pit in the miry clay. And I rescued your marriage. Some of your marriages are here tonight. You wouldn't have a marriage. You wouldn't have a
home.
You wouldn't have a home. How could I not talk to you today?
Right, for sure.
Me and Miss Range, we've been married 4 or 5 years. Our marriage was hanging together by a thread.
Yes.
We were just about to be burned into. I'm telling you, Jesus rescued our marriage. I got on my knees this morning. And I said, Lord, thank you for rescuing my marriage.
Yes.
Thank you for rescuing
thank
my home. Thank you for rescuing my family.
Yes.
I got 2 precious children, 5 grandchildren. I'll guarantee you, every one, all 7 of the nights in the house of God, at Presbyterian Baptist Church, God rescued my family.
And
I tell you how, in the name of heaven, could I not talk to you today? How could I wait up and not respond when he knocks on the door of my heart? I'm telling you, it's a dangerous thing. How good he's been to you. I hope we'll all get under conviction tonight and say, God, forgive me for not wanting to fellowship with you. Lord, forgive me for not wanting to be in your presence. Don't get so careless tonight and don't get so tied up in this world that you're running to and fro. Men's going to run to and fro in the earth. And mileage is going to increase, but we're running so bad. We have bypassed God and bypassed His presence and bypassed His Word, and we're not fellowshipping the way we should. And maybe I think He's grieved and His heart's broken tonight. And I'm afraid we're liable to end up paying a price we do not want to pay. He'll never leave you, never forsake you as far as salvation.
Yes, amen.
But maybe He's not real to you. The nearness and the realness of being saved. And fellowship of the way a man and woman can in the intimacy of being in love, and God put that together, a beautiful picture. That's what Jesus wants to do with good shepherds.
Yes, preacher.
Amen.
He wants to fellowship with her.
Amen.
We come in here running helter skelter and swinging and abiding, and I'm not picking on, I'm trying to either. I'm telling you, worshiping.
Yes. Amen.
He speaks to your heart. His presence is precious. Whether you realize it or not, it's the most precious thing you got. Thank God for a good preacher. Thank God for a good family. Your music is wonderful. Thank God for somebody to open their mouth and say, I can't stand a song leader's got a mouth full of grease trying to sing. Amen. And some choir, that choir in the church, I collect and got locked jaw and can't sing. Rare back and let her fly.
Yes.
Yes. I'm telling you, we better thank God for His presence around here. He's liable someday to deal with your heart and say, open to me and let me get a little closer to you.
Yes.
It's time for you to embrace the knowledge of the Lord. And I want to show you things that you've never seen before. I want to have some intimate encounters with you. And the child came hang, and if we aren't careful, we'll push him back and put him off, and then we'll make up our mind, well, I am going to respond to it, and you're going to run to him one of these days and open the door, and he'll say, sorry, closed.
Yes, amen. Amen.
We're all waiting on conviction. We all just quit giving invitation.
Yes.
She said he was gone. She lost his presence, the preciousness of it.
Amen.
How do we treat him? Like a red-headed stepchild? Pardon me, you're red-headed. Lord, I'd rather have your younger red than me. That already got 4 nights off her head. He lost the preciousness of his presence. He's gone. Did you read it? I did open to him. Preacher, I opened the door.
Yeah.
But my beloved had withdrawn himself. She ever backed off from you? I can't explain it. I heard, I'll think of his name in a minute. He experienced 6 months what I experienced about 6 weeks back about 38, 39 years ago, I was a young pastor. God backed off from me, preacher, for 6 weeks or so. I didn't know what to preach.
Oh boy.
I couldn't feel his presence. What's the preacher's name, Lord? Ralph Sexton Sr.
Yes.
He said one time in his ministry, God backed off of him for about 6 months and said, Ralph, I'm going to let you do it on your own. I went about 6 weeks. I couldn't get a sermon. I'd read that book. It was dead. I couldn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to preach. I confessed everything from Dan to Fallen Arches and everything in between. I confessed everything I knew to confess. God just kind of backed off of me to show me how precious His presence is. But if you've ever been in a dry, thirsty waste town of wilderness and can't find God, you know what I'm talking about. It'd probably be good for this church, probably be good for me, probably be good for you, if God just backed off for a little bit and showed you what it'd be like to be without Him, and showed you what it'd be like to go to church where He's not there. I'm telling you, there's folks tonight, they probably got a form of godliness, deny the power thereof. They go to church, they don't worship the Lord, His presence is not there. And some of those people in those churches are saved people, but they have committed the sin of procrastination, and they did not respond to them when God spoke to their heart. And I can name a thousand things. I don't have time tonight, I don't have time to get into that. I'm just saying, whatever He has asked you to do, and whatever He has told you to do, and what He may have commanded you to do, and you haven't responded to Him, He is subject to back off from you one of these days and leave you to yourself for a while.
Amen. Yes.
Let me give you one verse, and I'm hurrying. John 2:5 says, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it.
Yeah. Amen.
That's a pretty big little verse.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Whatsoever. That requires perfect obedience to whatever He says. Whatsoever, that's perfect. He saith unto you, that's personal.
Amen.
What's He told you to do that you haven't done? Open to me, my Lord.
Amen.
Open to me, my Lord. I want to come in. Fellowship with you. I've been out here with the views on my hair, and I want to come in and fellowship with you. She didn't commit immorality. She wasn't drunk before. She hadn't committed some terrible sin. She just didn't do what he asked her to do. We think we had been drunk for two or three nights and been running off up and down the world somewhere we hadn't done anything. I'm telling you, this little sin of disobedience, not responding to him, is killing us.
Amen.
You can't have his presence. You can't have his power. You
can't have
his glory till you get to where you're sensitive to him.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Speak, Lord, thy servant listens. Whatsoever he says unto you, do what he asks you to do, you haven't done. Just open up another chamber in your heart and let me feel that chamber come into the secret places in your life and experience things with me you've never experienced before. Do you know him that way? Philippians 3:10 says something like this. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul wrote the Philippian epistle when he was in jail and had been saved at least 25 years, had to be that long, and he said, I'd like to know him in a different way than I've ever known him.
Amen.
Most of you know him in the three parts you've seen, but do you know him? Do you know him?
Yeah.
I know him as a Savior. But Isaiah said he's not just a Savior, he's wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
Amen.
Of those names, if you read them in Isaiah, that's the kingdom, God, kingdom of fifth heaven. A kingdom prophecy right there when he said that. That's the way it's going to be when Jesus is in his millennial reign. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's also the way it is when he's reigning on the throne of your heart.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
When he's sitting on the throne of your heart,
yes, sir.
He'll be wonderful. He'll be a Counselor. He'll be your Mighty God. He'll be your Everlasting Father. He'll be your Prince of Peace. And I think a lot of us got off right there at point one when we haven't known him in those other areas.
Amen.
Oh boy. She lost the preciousness of his presence. And I tell you, I'm heaven bound, I'm going to glory, I'm blood bought, sealed under the day of redemption, I'm as good as in heaven,
and
I was ready to
go. Right.
That's how much confidence
yes,
I have in him, not me.
Right.
I would hate to live from this day till he comes or I go without his presence being real to me.
Yes.
I believe if you've ever known him, you'll get to running around and looking and seeing what happened and what went wrong. She did.
Sir, you're right, preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear old-time religion, old-time praising, got a lot of old-time worship, old-time preaching? I tell you, I started
yes.
it out.
Mm-hmm.
But in churches, it's not there. It can happen right here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's right there before
mm-hmm.
that. All you have to do is just quit obeying and procrastinate.
Yeah,
that's all.
There you go.
Just keep going and put it. You know what the word, I look the word procrastinate up. It means belonging to an arm, or to defer, or to delay, or to put on, or to push it. Push it on off of tomorrow. You're procrastinating. You're pushing down into the
future.
You're going to do it, but you're going to do it when it's your convenience and not when he asks you to do it.
Right.
Right.
Here's what's going to happen. When you start to do it,
yeah.
He's not going to be there to accept it or bless it or you experience his presence in it.
Yes. Amen.
I'm hurrying if I can. God tells you give $10 on Sunday morning. Some poor missionary come through and they are some good ones.
Yes.
Somebody come through needing $10. God tells you to put $10 in the plate and you hesitate. The offering plate goes by. So you come back on Sunday night and you say, well, I missed that $10. I'm going to put $100 in tonight and make up for it. Just keep your $100.
Right. Amen.
God can bless 10 in obedience more than you use 100 out of this.
Amen. That's good for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Learn to do it when he said to do it.
That's the truth.
You still with me?
Amen. Everybody
ought to quit right there.
Verse number three.
I am trying to hurry.
Walk. Preach.
I opened. She did open, but she's 5 minutes late. 30 minutes late. Wait, how long? How late do you think she was? I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn itself and was gone.
My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. Let me close with the first point. His presence is gone, and you're not going to find him again until he chooses to reveal himself to you.
Amen.
She couldn't find him. Some of you tonight, you've grieved his presence. You haven't done what he told you to do. You think, well, I'm going to make up for it, and I'm going to find him. And you're not going to find him until he shows himself to you.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You can't find him when he hides. If God hides, you can't find him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Okay, stay with me. I saw him in verse number 6b. I sought him, but I cannot find him. I called, but he gave me no answer. You fasten your seatbelt. Hang on. Get in, sit down, shut up, hang on. Amen. We're going for a ride.
Yes,
she lost the preciousness of his presence. And then she lost the privilege of praying and talking to him.
Amen.
She called him, but he didn't answer.
What about that?
He said, oh, preacher, I'm saved. I can talk to God anytime I want to. Now, you're going to have to rewrite you. You're going to get you another Bible in your family. You're going to feel belly heaven, too.
Amen.
You can't talk to God when he tries to talk to you and you won't talk to him. Then you make up your mind you're going to talk to him whenever you want to. God, that's foolishness.
Amen. Amen,
bro. The Bible said in John 9:31, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Right.
If you're not worshiping and doing the will of God, he's not hearing you.
That's exactly right, man.
Saved people, I'm talking about saved.
Yes, sir.
She's the bride of Christ, as far as I'm concerned. Preacher, straight down after church, you can teach an old dog new tricks. She lost his presence.
You right on.
She lost the privilege of talking to him.
Amen.
You know what Isaiah 59:1 says? Behold the Lord's hand. Everybody misquotes it just about. It's not his arm. Behold the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. What about a preacher? That he will not hear.
Right. Amen.
Some of you have been praying for God to save your family. He hadn't saved them. Some of you have been praying about this and that and the other. You think God ought to answer you. But the thing is, you didn't answer him and you didn't respond to him. And now your prayer is falling on deaf ears because his prayer and his words to you fell on a hard heart and a stiff neck and a deaf ear and you wouldn't listen to him. Now he's not listening to you.
Amen.
You're right, preacher.
Amen. That's what Isaiah 59 says. I'm ready to do. I'm
ready
on my knees before God. I pray the Lord says, my hand's not short, my ear's not heavy. It's just that sin's gotten away, and I'm not hearing. You have throne rights. We have access to the throne of grace. We can come to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But when you've got disobedience and procrastination in your life, God does not hear you when you pray.
It's the truth.
Look at the verse Psalm 66:18. After close to, it would be good for you to read it. You may quote it to me. Psalm 66:18. It's got quiet. I can preach and slobber and sling. And
amen.
I'm trying to help us.
Preach, brother. Yes, sir.
Psalm 66:18. The Bible said this is the psalmist David, the psalm of David. Verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Procrastination is iniquity. Procrastination is disobedience.
Yeah.
Procrastination is stubbornness or hard-heartedness or carelessness or whatever her reason was for not responding to him. And now she's got that in her life and she's lost his presence and she's calling unto him and he's given her no answer. And I'll guarantee you, but there's a town in Texas that these people don't sound my voice tonight. You have called and you have called and God is not answering you. What you need to do tonight is walk back down memory's lane when he called you and you didn't listen to him.
Amen.
Now, you're calling and he's not listening to you. And there's a whole lot of scripture. We have time to stay here.
Yes, sir.
Give me 10 minutes and I'll be through. She lost the freshness of his presence, and then she lost the privilege of praying.
Right.
I'd hate to be where I couldn't pray.
Oh, boy.
Mm. I'm talking about giving answers to you. For how long has it been since you had a personal, private, real, to your knowledge, answer to your personal prayers? You know God heard you and you know God answered your prayer. Not the church, not the preacher, but you personally, he answered your prayer. I guarantee you, these people here tonight, you prayed and you hadn't heard, you don't know whether he's heard you or not.
Amen.
It may be before daylight, you may have to get a hold of God.
That's right. Right. Yes, sir.
My phone is ringing at midnight, 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and I had to get on my knees and cry out to God. And I hated to have to go somewhere and get things right. I'd hate to have to get some things straightened up. I want to stay where I can talk to them.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be such a considerable distance away from me that my voice won't fall upon his ears.
Right.
We were coming down Interstate 77 14, 15 years ago. Ever how old Tim Perry Terry, that he'd been here, may come just later on in the week, pastoring over East Burnstead. But they called us, I was their pastor. And they called, and Sister Terry was having one of the boys, one of the babies, and they told him, said the baby can't live. And so Jenny, Terry's mother, Sister Terry's mother, called and got us on the cell phone about 1 o'clock in the morning or sometime. I had preached and was driving from West Virginia to South Carolina, and the phone rang. I picked up the phone, and she was hilarious. She was just about hysterical, crying and weeping. I started to work and understand. She said, "Preacher, they said the baby can't live. Terry's had the baby, and the baby, they said the baby can't live. We want you to pray." We hung the phone up. Me and Miss Rain stopped the car, and we prayed. And God told me, "Preacher," and I'm not a prayer warrior, listen to me, but the Lord told me, he said, "The baby's going to be all right."
Amen. He'll be there.
Which one of the boys is it, Mom James?
TJ.
I'll let you talk in church.
TJ.
All right. Let the women keep silence in the church. One of the women thing asked her husband. TJ. I picked the phone up. I dialed the number. Miss Flaherty picked it up. Terry's mother. She said, "Mom," I said, "this is the preacher." I said, "Jimmy, me and Miss Range pray." And I said, "The Lord told me to tell you the baby's going to be all right." She said, "The baby's going to be all right." I heard her running down the hall. "The baby's going to be all right. The baby." I said, "Lord, I didn't want her to broadcast it everywhere. What if he ain't all right?" "Preacher said the baby's going to be all right. Preacher said the baby's going to be all right." He's playing the piano or singing with us tonight at East Burnstead at Calvary Baptist Church.
That's right.
That's been 15 years ago or something.
Hallelujah, bro.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I didn't have to stop. Call half a dozen places, apologize, and make amends, try to get right with my wife, get right with somebody else, get things straightened out.
There
and the baby had died while we was trying to get things.
Yes, you get a hold of the
church. Are you listening?
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yes.
Keep the line clean so you can talk.
Right.
Open line.
All right, then she wasn't immoral. She hadn't been drunk. She hadn't been out of church for a month.
Right.
She just didn't do what he asked her to do.
Right.
That's a serious thing.
Sure is.
It's no telling what God can get done.
If everybody
in this building would do what he said to do, when he said to do
it,
he is
I believe that, brother. Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank
you,
Lord.
It's the little things he tells us.
Absolutely.
And we don't do it.
Amen.
He's not precious in his presence to us, and we don't have the power of prayer and talking to him.
Right.
Let me give you these other 2 points. I'm not going to preach it. If you regard iniquity in your heart, he won't hear you. It's what David said. And David was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Isaiah said, God told him, said, "Isaiah, tell them their sins are separated between me and them. I'm not going to hear their prayers." Yeah.
Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse number 7. She gets out of bed. Apparently, she gets out of the house because the watchman that went about the city, so she's out in the street. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil. Two things in verse 7 out of number 3. I'm through. They smote me. You lost that blessed protection that he had given. I tell you this, buddy, with what we've experienced and we're going to experience in the next 90 days and the 4 years after that, we had better have a protecting hand of God on the church.
Amen.
God told Abraham, Genesis 15, I'm your shield, Abraham, and I'm your exceeding great reward. Don't you fear, I'm going to take care of it.
Yes, sir.
Genesis 15. He told Isaiah, said, you tell Israel, no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. I believe that's chapter 54, somewhere in there. We need God's protecting hand. Now listen to me, I'll be 68 to birthplace. My bride's back there. If one of y'all touched her tonight, I was trying to do my best for women.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to protect her.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to protect his church.
Believe that.
We better stay close to him.
Yeah.
And stay in the church house where his protecting hand would be on. You think if he had been in the house where those watchmen would have laid a hand on her, he'd have broke her arm off and beat him to death with him. But that he wasn't there to help her. They smote her, she said.
Right.
He didn't respond.
Boy.
Lastly, preacher, the Bible said they took away her veil. You know what the veil portrays?
Mm-hmm.
You young ladies listen to me.
Yeah.
That white veil,
yes, sir,
portrays your virtue and your purity.
Exactly right. Amen.
That's what it is. I've had people get mad at me because I wouldn't let them wear a white dress and a white veil when they came down the aisle.
Yeah.
And they got out and got immorality and all that stuff.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
You're right.
And I'm not picking on you. That's just not a conviction. That veil says, I'm pure. And I'm clean. And I have kept myself for this young man I'm going to wed. That's what the veil is.
Yes,
we've thrown that out the window. A lot of preachers afraid to stand on that anymore.
Right.
But they took her veil, snatched it off of her, and exposed her to the world. That's what the world has done to the church.
Amen.
The church is the bride.
Amen.
We're the bride. You're the bride sitting here tonight. Keep that veil on. The only way you're going to keep it, keep the world from getting it, is do what he says to do, when he says to do it, and let this old world go by.
Amen.
When they said, act like we do, dress like we do, get out here on the wind of the world with us, and jump and boogie and bop and bang, all that junk, she should have been in the church house, having obeyed the Lord, she wouldn't have had to been out there where she's at.
Right. Amen.
You don't get gold medals for preaching. I guess thing, but I'm telling you tonight, she should have been back at the house, having obeyed the Lord. He would have been in there, his presence would have been real, but she's lost his presence. She can't talk to him. She's out in the world, and the world's knocking her around, and they jerked her veil off and defiled her. May God help the church.
Yes.
The church ought to be a testimony to this community and this county and this state and to the world. We are the bride of Christ. We belong to Him. We're keeping ourselves pure, and we're going to obey Him and be sensitive to Him so we can enjoy His presence and have His power in church. If that's the kind of church you got, you ought to get in the altar and thank God for it. If you don't have that kind, you ought to get in the altar and ask God to help us have that
kind. That's right. Amen.
Do not leave here tonight having procrastinated and not do what He's asked you to do. If you're lost, He's asked you to get saved. If you're backslidden, He's asked you to get right. If you're saved, He's asked you to respond to Him. Be sensitive to Him. Your preacher studies all week, prays all week, He's not up here trying to get a paycheck and blow a lot of air. He's trying to give you a message from heaven, and it's your responsibility to be sensitive to the Lord and obey Him. Would you obey Him tonight, preacher? Thank you for your time.